we were seeing an increased need before the government shut down. And we know that these families are still going to be feeling the strain with their SNAP benefits back and checks fully paid.
Howdy, hey, I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome back to Prairie Beat.
Indeed, we are back after taking last week off. Danielle had to take a couple of personal days going down the rabbit hole. That was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a Gen Z TikTok sensation, according to NPR.
You know, I did take a couple of days off. I didn't have childcare, but, you know, while I was with my kids, I was enjoying a lot of the Fitzgerald-related content.
Yeah, and speaking of TikTok and social media, I hear that today is National Men's Day, according to you and your
International
feed.
Men's Day, so and worldwide, and World Toilet Day,
what the
FYI.
Heck does that say? What does that
well,
say
Well, listen,
about
Toilet
Men's
Day,
Day
Toilet Day, it's a big day for plumbing and sanitation. I mean, it's an important, meaningful day.
I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart.
Yeah, well, okay, from shipwrecks to train wrecks, that was 43 days. The federal government was closed. And during that time, Danielle, you were following pretty closely everything mm-hmm. that was happening. And it was a lot. Federal workers being fired or workers going without pay. Republicans and Democrats refused to come to an agreement on the Affordable Care Act subsidies. And so ultimately, a handful of Democrats relented, much to the chagrin of many other Democrats, mm-hmm. and they joined Republicans to open the government. But a very major thing that happened during the shutdown that had real on-the-ground and immediate impacts nationwide was when payments to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, did not go out to beneficiaries.
That's correct. And so, yes, November 1st came and the benefits did not. It's about 57,000 people in North Dakota who utilize that program. And a lot of what goes out depends on different, you know, several different factors. On average, this is about, you know, I've seen anywhere from $175 to $200, maybe $250 a month per person on this program. And that is pretty significant when folks who are depending on it don't get it.
Yeah, you think about 57,000, that would be like the population of Grand Forks mm-hmm. basically is relying on these benefits. I will say it has been pretty impactful to see the state and communities here really step up the plate. North Dakotans did not want to see their neighbors go hungry.
Yeah, that happened immediately. Right before that November 1st date, Governor Armstrong got out in front and basically, here's the Cliff Notes version here. He worked with state agencies to deliver a portion of benefits to folks. And they also partnered with Great Plains Food Bank. They gave them some money. And the food bank has been really working hard as well to meet that need. I talked with Darby Ness. She's the media relations person at the food bank late last week about this. She says, you know, need has been very high for a while. Last year, they were serving 1 in 5 North Dakotans and 1 in 4 children. And during the shutdown, the pressure only compounded. She says the effects are not going to go away overnight.
We're anticipating to distribute about 3.5 million pounds over the month of November and December alone. And kind of put that in perspective, we typically distribute just over 1 million pounds a month. So what we're planning for the current month of November and the rest of December is about a 60% increase of the amount of food we need to continue to meet the need.
Yeah, you know, I really do believe that. I did read recently that while it's great the benefits are returning, folks may have had to use the money they would otherwise have spent on food on other things like rent, utilities, and other bills, that terrible calculus one has to make sometimes. And so it will be a bit of time here before people are really able to catch up on that.
There absolutely will be some economic ripples that take a while to recover from after the shutdown.
We were just in Williston again in November, and we served 279 households, which is a 60% increase from our October mobile that we held out there. And so we're seeing this across our partner network. We're seeing an increase for food needs at our partner pantries.
Cost of living gets so high. Rich and poor, they start to cry. Now the weak must get strong. They say, oh, what a tribulation. Them belly full, but we hungry.
Now, while the economy tries to get back up after all of that, meanwhile, there was a bit of a surprise in the funding bill that ultimately passed Congress and was signed by the president to reopen the government. And this may also have a bit of economic consequence for another specific corner of the economy.
I've been talking to a number of other people in the industry lately who are very freaked out about this because I think there's some real concern that this will put a lot of businesses out of business.
So that is Aaron Junkie, and he is owner and president of Junkyard Brewing Company. They have a couple of spots in the FM metro area. One tap room is in West Fargo, but at their original location in Moorhead, since the legalization of cannabis in Minnesota, they started offering THC-infused beverages. And this is an item that really took off in legalized states after COVID. I'll do my best to just briefly explain this here. In the 2018 Farm Bill, there was a loophole that, or kind of like an exemption, it allowed legal extraction of THC from the hemp plant. And as states were making their own moves to legalize THC in their own ways, companies were figuring out how to make products with hemp and THC. Like you can get lotions, balms, edibles, vapes, and breweries saw an opportunity because during the pandemic, craft beer consumption went down. So they started filling that void with THC-infused drinks, and they're really popular. And this funding bill contained a provision that basically closes that loophole and will effectively ban all hemp-derived THC products. Poof. And Aaron Junkie says lots of breweries in Minnesota have made these beverages a substantial part of their business.
We're a much smaller brewery that's a lot more taproom-based, so I'm not as freaked out as some of the bigger production breweries. However, I think it will really, really hurt us to lose that revenue.
Okay, and if you're wondering where Junkyard Brewery got its name, now you know, Aaron Junkie.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is pretty big news. Billions of dollars, they say hundreds of thousands of jobs. A popular local business right in our own backyard that will be impacted. So got to wonder what happens next.
The industry has a year before the provision will take effect and the loophole will officially close.
It's kind of cloudy, smoky, if you will. The all-important economy keeps making headlines here at Prairie Public. Danielle, what else have you, Dave, and Todd been working on this week?
If we do it all together, think of the support that you'll have around the country.
The Great American Smokeout is this week. It's a national public health initiative to encourage people to quit using tobacco products.
Of course, it's just this one very unique experience opportunity for us to kind of go home.
NDSU President Dr. David Cook is leaving to become president at Iowa State University in Ames.
The 40-pound Tom Rubin. Great timing, Reuben.
And of course, one lucky turkey was pardoned at the state capitol in Bismarck. It's a ceremonial thing that happens every year before Thanksgiving.
Once again, thanks for all that, Danielle, for staying on top of all the news that is happening here in North Dakota and around the region.
Absolutely. Be sure to tune into Prairie Public for more regional news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right. Thank you for joining us on Prairie Beat today. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.